Hello, and welcome to another edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as usual, your host for the show. This week, we're joined by Wayne Cuervo, who heads up Cisco Canada's Innovation Centre, located at its Canadian headquarters in Toronto. Over the last 2 years, Cisco has ramped up this new facility and uses to show off some cutting-edge ideas from Cisco itself and its partners, usually in tandem. Wayne will walk us through the history of the network of innovation centers worldwide, what they do, how they focus, and with whom they work. The innovation centers are a great example of what Cisco likes to refer to as the partner ecosystem, bringing together ISVs and other types of newer generation Cisco partners with the traditional VARs and MSPs of the Cisco channel. And Wayne shares both how these connections are made and how Cisco channel partners can get involved with the innovation center as they look to engage in their own digital transformations. It's a great conversation, so let's get right into it. My chat with Cisco's Wayne Cuervo. Wayne, thanks so much for taking the time and joining us on the podcast.
Rob, thanks for the opportunity. This is my first podcast, so I'm very excited about it. Thank you.
Well, I hope it goes well for you. certainly, a lot of partners, I think, have heard of the Innovation Center for Cisco, but for those who maybe don't deal a lot with Cisco or haven't heard of it, let's take a step back and open it up with just a little bit of a nickel tour of the history of the Innovation Center and kind of what you guys are focused on with it.
Sure. So the Innovation Center here in our Cisco Canadian headquarters has been open for about 2.5 years, and it was really built and designed so that we could help our customers figure out ways of bringing problems forward, that we can build out new proof-of-concept solutions to solve their business challenges. And that means a lot of things. But ultimately, when we moved into this building, we wanted to showcase where we could talk about all the innovation that Cisco is driving in not only our core technologies, but also the conversations that we're having around all of our verticals focuses. And the fact that, you know, we have a very strong role to play, or we feel we have a very strong role to play in any company's innovation journey. So the Innovation Center sits on the 29th floor, again, of our Canadian headquarters. And the focus is a little bit of a couple things. You know, we want to have a bit of a showcase for the art of the possible. And we do that because we want to educate customers around what are the digital transformation stories, examples, and opportunities that are across every industry and across every company. And then we also have a lab that facilitates a lot of our innovation projects and our co-innovation opportunities with our customers. And so it's a little bit of show and tell and then show and do. And the inspirational aspects of it are, you know, here's how technology can be deployed, but let's take a step back from the technology and let's look at what business objectives we're trying to drive and help deliver to our customers. And so when we launched, it was a lot of, you know, here's some smart building solutions, because we are in a very smart and connected building that has some very strong examples of how a lot of technology can help enable a building to be more efficient, to have better personalized user experiences. And it really does demonstrate a little bit of a living lab for the smart building story. And then we expanded to other verticals beyond that. And when we launched, it was a little bit of, you know, come and see the space and then get customers interested, and then what can we do with us? So does that give you a little bit of a sense of history and kind of where we are today?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's the Toronto location is part of a network worldwide. Can you touch maybe a little bit on how sort of the overall Innovation Center network at Cisco kind of works together?
Sure. So right now there's 12 innovation centers globally. We are the only one in North America and the only two in the Americas. So we have one in here in Toronto, we've got one in Rio de Janeiro. And we're all part of the same organization. We're all part of the same, we're all the same reporting structure. So we all sit and meet with our leadership and all of my peers across the global network about every 2 weeks, to be honest. And that means that we have a really strong cross-pollination opportunity with what other centers are working on and what other customers are engaged with, what other startups they're pulling into the conversations around solution development, and then also expertise. And when each center opened, there was a little bit of a, you know, 2 to 3 vertical focus that each center was focused on, and that was a little bit to make sure that there was a enough of a focus and the ability to actually drive interesting projects and solutions within those verticals. We've all moved beyond that, and we're now focusing across pretty much every vertical. But what it does mean is that some centers have a deeper specialization within that vertical. So it means that there's either a vertical of particular strong industry within the country. So for instance, when we have projects that are around mining or agriculture, Australia has a deep wealth of experience and knowledge and startups and projects that we tap into from their perspective. And likewise, we're very heavily invested in smart buildings, smart cities, healthcare and financial services. So we kind of are the go-to center for those kinds of projects. But it means that we're all very closely aligned to what opportunities exist across the network. It also does provide opportunities when there are other global organizations that are involved with Innovation Center opportunities. We can light up additional projects with other centers that business might have engagement in as well. So potentially Rio and Toronto could be working with one customer in 2 different geographies.
Okay.
So it's an exciting opportunity for a pretty robust network to help drive innovation globally.
Right on. You touch on sort of going across verticals, but most recently you guys have put a focus on digital education. You've had myself and some of my peers in the Canadian tech media through there not so long ago, and we wrote a little bit about that. But can you elaborate a little bit on kind of what you're doing around digital campus and digital education right now at the Innovation Center, just sort of to illustrate what you're showing off at any one given time?
Sure. So it is one of our rotating vertical focus rooms. So we have these showcases that we light up from anywhere from, 6 to 10 months, where we'll deep dive into one specific vertical. And the reason we do that is to give a little bit of a, here's art of the possible, here's some solutions that are ready to be implemented today, but people might not be aware of them, a little bit of opportunity to foster conversations with what are the trends emerging in a specific industry. And so one of them, the one that you saw particularly, was around education. And so we talk about it from 2 different perspectives. One is around digital learning and how a lot of our technology can help basically make content in an education setting, whether it's a classroom or online, accessible to students anywhere at any time on any device, and really taking the ability for a teacher to give curriculum and instruct a class, but then capture that content and make it available at any time. So we've got a number of collaboration technologies, not only things like our WebEx Teams boards that actually are a physical piece of hardware, but also we've got a lot of software that allows connected research, connected classroom, connected students. So the ability for students to collaborate amongst themselves more seamlessly is part of that conversation, as well as taking what the professors may teach and distilling that down to a video that can be then consumed over any device, but over also very low bandwidth environments. So there's a number of technologies that we talk about that really highlight all the aspects of digital learning and the role that networking and collaboration. A lot of our technologies really touch and allow that content to be richly consumed by students that are now more connected, more tech savvy, and require a lot more of schools to deliver interesting content in interesting and flexible ways. And then to the second part of the conversation, where we step into a little bit more of the art of the possible, even though kind of most of these solutions are ready for prime time, basically, is around digital campus and how could we take a lot of the technology that we see in everyday world, but deploy new business outcomes from that. So let me give you some examples. You know, one of the things that we talk a lot here about is Wi-Fi, and we're working with a startup that actually can take Wi-Fi signals of student behaviors on campus. So students log into Wi-Fi, and they'll be on Wi-Fi throughout the campus experience. Can a university basically determine what are the successful behavior patterns of students on campus that might help those students understand where their own on-campus experiences, when they're how long they're spending time at what specific campus facilities might lead to them being at greater risk of not completing a course successfully or not graduating even. So what this means is something like, you know, benchmarking historical. So through machine learning, it will look at all of the students that might be in a specific class. I'm going to say physics, for example, and successful students generally might spend, you know, X number of hours attending class, X number of hours attending library time, or even on-campus social events, and then benchmark what successful behaviors within that cohort or class look like. So students that exhibit behaviors that are below that threshold can be told that they could be at risk of not completing because of these factors. So it's a really way of helping the students be informed about historical success patterns and what they can do to make sure that they are successful, and help universities ultimately graduate more students. It's an interesting way of taking data and marrying that to Wi-Fi analytics in a really new and interesting use case. That I will admit, you know, can freak some people out if it comes from a perspective that you know, people aren't looking at it from the positive perspective of actually helping students be more effective and successful on campus. One of the other solutions we talk about is how can we use things like video analytics to drive more campus security opportunities. So things like if, you know, student residences require you to tap in, can you stop tailgating using video analytics so that if a camera detects two people entering a building when there's only been one tap, can you alert that? Or if there's things like secure hallways where you don't expect students to be running, or if there's ever a fight that breaks out, the video analytics engine can determine abnormal movement patterns to alert a security guard that there may be an issue that they need to be aware of. So there's all these kinds of aspects of taking new technology and providing analytics to drive, you know, business insights that can help ultimately, you know, provide safer and more efficient campus engagement.
All right. In the examples you gave, and in a lot of the cases that I've seen over the last, you know, year and a half at the Innovation Center, it always seems to be a mix of you know, Cisco technology and then offerings from an ISV or complementary vendor. For example, in the case of the Wi-Fi solutions you outlined earlier, the Cisco Meraki infrastructure, and then the ISV software on top of that does the data crunching and the monitoring and that side of things. I think this is interesting because if you know, any partner who's been to Partner Summit or any Cisco partner-centric event in the last few years has certainly heard loud and clear the idea of the partner ecosystem, which kind of goes beyond the reseller VAR SI and brings in ISVs and a bunch of these other parties who are bringing complementary innovation in. Can you touch a little bit on how you sort of interface and interact with the channel, the more VAR SI side of that partner community at the Innovation Center, and the opportunities that you see to bring together, you know, Cisco plus partner who's delivering the complementary technology plus partner who's delivering solution to go to market?
Yeah. So basically, I mean, you know, everything in Cisco is we rely heavily, and we have tremendous respect and appreciation for all of our partners. And so we really see our partnerships being a very core component of everything we do in the Innovation Center. We know that we're going to be a component of the end-to-end or of the solution, but the end-to-end solution will require partners in every project that we really develop. Especially because we as an innovation center are able to develop a proof of concept solution, but we're not going to be the ones kind of owning that solution long term, and certainly not the ones taking it to market. And so we rely heavily on our partners across the spectrum. So whether it's the VARs or the integrators, they can be a very strong and required partner in a lot of delivering in all the solutions that we'd want to deliver. So when we look at things like, you know, when we're co-innovating solutions, we can do that with those partners. We can take elements of our technology, help that partner understand where the integration points can be. We can do a lot of the testing, validation, do actually rolling up our sleeves and developing that, whether it's API integration, whether it's actually new code that we need to build here. We can do a lot of that, but we really need to do that with a partner in hand. And so the co-innovation is, while we are kind of driving a lot of that, it really can't sit in a vacuum of just us. It's really got to be these partners. And it can be anything from, you know, we work with startups and we sometimes figure out how those startups can take their technology and plug into some of our technology or architectures, and we can help startups work better on our platforms. And then sometimes we'll bring in those partners to say, okay, we've got this thing that is our technology plus startup technology. Now we need somebody to help commercialize it and take it to market. And that's also an opportunity for partners to get engaged. So it's a really strong model when we take a look at what we can deliver and our partners. Without the partners are really, you know, we're only one part of the story. Mm-hmm. We like to use the bread, the sandwich analogy. Sometimes we're the meat in the sandwich, sometimes we're the bread in the sandwich, and sometimes we're just the mayonnaise. But our partners are critical to our success.
All right. And especially because more of the folks who would, you know, traditionally have identified as VARs or SIs, I think, are doing more unique code and differentiating themselves in that way. If I'm a partner who's in that space and is you know, thinking about ways to take my business there, how can I get engaged and kind of leverage what you guys are doing at the Innovation Center in my own business?
Yeah, so we have a really easy model to engage with. I mean, it basically starts with, you know, a conversation. And we don't, there's not an elaborate process to get engaged. There's not a lot of red tape or roadblocks. You know, we're an innovation center. We want to be agile and nimble and very flexible. So we'll have partners come in and we'll have exploratory meetings around, you know, what can we do together? Or sometimes it's, hey, we have this thing that we'd like to do. Can you help us? And then we basically start the engagement. We are very we kind of think that we don't like to say no to many things. We like to be very engaged with our partner community and almost say yes to everything until we figure out, okay, is there enough business opportunity here? Is there enough of a ROI? Is there enough of a technological feasibility? But a lot of that is what we spend our time working on, is having those conversations and fleshing a lot of that out. So we're a super easy team to work with. And the reason we don't have a lot of processes is a lot of things. When I say processes, I mean we don't have a lot of burdensome forms to fill out in order to look at an opportunity to work in the Innovation Center. It's a very very quick and easy path to let's light something up. And so we are, and that's kind of because everything that we do is, there's no one size fits all. So we need to be very agile in how we work with them. So basically it's an email and a meeting, and then we can go from there.
Yeah, sounds easy enough to me. Yeah. to kind of bring us home on this, I'd love to get your thoughts on what comes next for the Innovation Center, you know, kind of what you're thinking of for the next 6 months and beyond, and what partners can expect to see out of the Toronto Innovation Center.
Well, we've actually, I'm not going to let too much of the cat out of the bag, but we're obviously, you know, constantly rotating and lighting up new vertical showcases. So right now we're exploring the idea of bringing in a smart and connected cities showcase. We want to specifically talk about how can we engage more fully and actually demonstrate a lot of the co-innovation that we have with our partners. So we're looking at what we can do there. And then we've got some really exciting demonstrations that we're working with a couple startups and a couple further along vendor technologies with some exciting exciting solutions. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but there are some demos we're actually building as we speak that I think a lot of solution providers will be interested in, and it's a very cross vertical application of a solution. So I think there's going to be a lot coming, and there's going to be a lot of new and interesting things to talk about. But that's all I'm going to give you.
All right, that's enough to whet the appetite. Wayne, thanks so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. Thanks so much for doing this.
So there you have it, Cisco's Innovation Center strategy, straight from Wayne Cuervo. I'd like to thank Wayne for joining us for this week's podcast. Thank Cisco for its continuing sponsorship of ChannelBuzz.ca. And of course, thank you for joining us. We couldn't do this without you. The ChannelBuzz.ca podcast will be back next week as we're joined by a trio of solution providers from Canada and the US to discuss their own podcast, which dispenses both sage business advice from growing managed service providers and whiskey reviews. It's an odd combination, perhaps, but it comes together nicely. So join us for the first ever happy hour on the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast with the guys from IT for Whiskey. But until then, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.